Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning, and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, we've been speaking over the last couple of weeks about the devastation from Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Hurricane Irma was even stronger at its peak than Hurricane Katrina, the legacy of which you're very familiar with. How has the disaster relief services like FEMA been handling it?
Well, interestingly enough, no one's complained about FEMA. This has not happened ever. FEMA's got its act together, thanks to Mr. Obama, and they're doing a great job. The reason they're doing a great job, for the first time, they've integrated the private sector with the public sector into the relief effort, and so they've been able to do a much better job than they did in the past. Just for a second, think if you were a civilian and someone asked you to rescue somebody. Whose liabilities are there here? Are there government liabilities or not? So in the past, they had a precautionary principle where they wouldn't let civilians do anything. Now they've trained up civilians, much like our SES, not to that extent, and brought them in to help out. And of course, the Mexicans helped out as well.
Now, Trump's experienced a bounce in popularity since the disaster, which is not all that surprising. People want a bit of unity around the country at times like this. But what effect could these disasters be having long-term for Trump?
Well, I think they've washed the slate clean. Trump has a really new opportunity to be a president. And O'Neill is running the White House. He can go out and kiss babies and run around and talk to business people and stuff like that. The thing he really knows how to do. And he's leaving the Congress to Ryan, something he should have done a long time ago. And it looks like the agenda's gotten smaller rather than bigger. So there are three items on this agenda. One of them is some kind of small cuts in corporate taxes. And I think they're going to be very small, and they'll be bigger for small businesses and almost nothing for big businesses. And there'll be some corrections in the Tax Act. For example, allowing businesses to write off inventory that wasn't sold and some business expenses. No more than that, but he can give it a tick. And the second thing he really wants to do is figure out how he can use the Tax Act in some way to help the poor. And that might be something as simple as giving them nice big refund checks faster than they did in the past.
I do want to speak, of course, about Trump, and maybe he's going to be the builder of bridges. Trump and the Democrats have reached a deal over the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Dreamers, something we were talking about last week. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is he's allowed those Dreamers who got in under the wire to stay. I assume some have already left, fearing the worst. But those who are staying will have the Congress come up with some sort of an action so that they might become U.S. citizens. But there will be no more program like this. So people come to the United States illegally won't be in, and there probably won't be a wall to keep them out. But if they get caught, it'll be more like Australia. They're going to be sent off to Guantanamo or something pretty bad. I think even the Democrats would have a hard time allowing any more people in and giving them citizenship the way Obama was doing it.
Well, rather interesting, though, given all the tension we've seen between Trump and his own party, some people have noticed he seems more comfortable speaking with the Democrats.
Well, the reason for that is he's really lost the Republicans, and he has nothing to gain by trying to get them back. There's really sour grapes there. But with the Democrats, if he can bring them on side on a few key issues, and Obamacare is one of those issues, and a couple of other issues, he might save his presidency for this 4 years because they'll stop pursuing him. That's not to say he's got to get out of jail card, or some of his people do, but I think he's beginning to see a soft presidency is much better than a strident one. And did someone turn off his tweeter?
Haven't seen a great deal of tweets from the tweeter-in-chief over the past week, I must admit. Look, also, just in relation to this, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival program, Trump's attempts at a travel ban, they've been kind of an ongoing embarrassment for the administration. As no matter what he does, they continue to get rejected by the courts, and Trump's own words have even been used against him. Now, an appeals court has once again ruled against the modified travel ban. What's the latest?
Well, it looks like he's given up on that. As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court has allowed him to lift most of the ban. So the ban's not a ban at all. And I think this one will, again, float away with the storms. No travel bans are going to be talked about. But there will be much more tightening on letting people into the country. And I witnessed that here in Europe. Boy, you can't imagine what a fingernail file will do in your suitcase. I think they're going to have that kind of scrutiny going on in the United States, much more profiling of possible people and that sort of thing. And Trump will declare that the victory, but he's going to give up on the ban and executive orders.
And speaking of bans, as you predicted, the ban on transgender individuals serving with the U.S. military, cruel as some of the language has been around it, it's turned out to be a bit of a nothing burger, with military flat out ignoring Trump's directive. What's going on?
Well, the military, of course, would have enormous liabilities of trying to put people out of the service under this so-called executive order, because these people have already gained military responsibilities plus military allowances and been treated like the regular military. The military doesn't want to spend 2, 3, 4, 5 years in court and know they're going to lose. So rather than doing that, they're just simply saying, hey, you guys who are here, you are soldiers. Don't pay any attention to this. If some of them leave, fine, but nobody's going to be forced out. This is going to save the military money and embarrassment. But I suspect if you want to get an operation to change your sex, it will be under Obamacare and not at the U.S. military's expense.
Look, I just wanted to loop around again to Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Following these extreme weather events, again, we're talking climate change. Chief White House Economic Advisor Gary Cohen, he's going to be speaking climate change with some senior climate and energy ministers from about a dozen nations before the UN General Assembly kicks off. Is this signs the White House will start taking emissions seriously again?
Well, I don't think anything's going to change in the U.S. laws in that regard. But what the U.S. has to do, and it's becoming very clear, you cannot go it alone on climate change. And Irma made it very, very clear, as well as Harvey, that the U.S. will have to have its allies working with it. Cohen has always been very much a climate change advocate, and so is Kelly. The U.S. military are very much in the climate change space. So I think, again, Trump will have to find a way to back down, and the way he's going to do it, I suspect, is have people like Cohen provide cover for him as U.S. sneaks back into the climate change agreement.
And just finally, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, he hasn't really wanted to go unnoticed during America's domestic disaster problems. He's practically jumping up and down, shouting, look at me, with the kind of testing he's been doing. But China might be poised to take the problem out of American hands. What's your take?
Well, the Chinese have assembled one of their largest divisions on the North Korean border, well equipped with military weapons such as missiles aimed right at their nuclear arsenal. The Chinese, I suspect, I don't know this, must have some very deep clandestine operations going on in North Korea. And basically say, we will take all your toys away if you start fooling around. Because it's not in China's interest to start a war on that peninsula. They've got the South China Sea to worry about. And they really don't want any other nuclear powers near them. So I think the Chinese may step forward here and play the role of the Americans. And the United States will softly, again, move back to the Philippines, Australia, and that portion of the Pacific it can control and cede the rest to China. We're really seeing the rise of China as an international diplomatic institution, not just as a military and economic power.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.